Mishnah Yom is for Monday, the 27th day of Tevis, Tavshin Pei Dalad. Our Mishnah, Perek Kesubas, Masech de Kesubas, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Hay. Our Mishnah continues the theme of what we've been discussing, and that is, what does it mean that an ones, a person who raped the Anara Marosa, has to drink his own cup? He's stuck with her. Ketzad Shoseh Beotzitza, what does that mean exactly? Says the Mishnah, afilu hi chigeres, even if the woman or the girl he raped was a chigeres, was lame, afilu hi suma, she was blind, afilu mikos shchin, she could have been struck with looking terrible with boils covering every part of her body. Doesn't matter how blemished the woman who raped is, even if she's got saras, the ones, that's one of the punishments of the ones, he has to marry her. Of course, if they're willing to give her, the father is willing to give her. But nimtzo bo dvar erva. But if it turns out that there is some prohibition by the Torah for him to marry her, or because she committed snus, she committed adultery after he married her, then even though normally an ones has to keep his wife, no, he'll have to not won't be able to keep it. He'll have to divorce her. Or maybe she's a type of a woman that can't even be married by a normal Jewish person who's born Jewish. For example, she might be Mamzeres. Mamzeres is not allowed to be married to a Yiddish man, a person who's born Jewish. And even if it's an assay, like for example, a Mamzeres is a lois assay, right? A prohibited. But what about even a person, a woman who's asura for him under a mitzvah assay? For example, an Egyptian convert, for the first two generations, if her father or her mother was an Egyptian convert, then she cannot marry either until the third generation. But it's a mitzvah asay. The Torah expresses it as an asay. So it's not a lav. And that too, in a Rishol HaKaima. That too, he's not allowed to keep her. And he can't, and, he can, and if he's, he's not allowed to marry her, and if he did marry her, he'd have to divorce her. And same thing as we said by Anusa, a rapist who did marry properly, and it turns out that there was some dvar erva, she committed adultery or something after that, after he married her, he's chayiv to me megarsha, he has to divorce her. Now, what do we know, these exceptions to the rule? Shanama, as it says, v'loy sihiyala isha, she shall be his wife, she shall be his wife. But we also learn, Isha haru'uyaloi. The word loy tells us one who is a woman who is fit to be married by him shall stay with him, but not a woman who is unfit for any of the reasons that are mentioned in the Mishnah. Al Mishnah Vav. This Mishnah is going to tell us that if the Nara herself is taking the knas, is taking the penalty, for example, in a case where she was orphaned from her father, then there's no father to give the knas to, she gets it. Then there is going to be a difference in such a case between an ones and a mefata, one who rapes her and one who seduces her. Because a mefata, one who seduces her, will be exempt from paying the knas, the penalty, but one who rapes her is chayv. And therefore, really, in our Mishnah here, in Mishnah Vav, we have really what would be a fourth difference between the ones and the mefata, in addition to the three that we mentioned earlier on in Mishnah Dalet. Says the Mishnah, Yesoma, an orphaned girl. She's lost her father. Mother can be alive, but the father is not here. Which means that any penalties that are accruing to her will go to herself, not her father. Shenisarsa v'nisgarsha. Now, the Gemara tells us we have to read this as another case, not Shenisgarsha, not Shenisarsa refers to the Yesoma, to the orphaned girl. It's another case. Read the Mishnah as if it would be Oi, or she got a kiddushin, her father married her off, had kiddushin, which is Minat Torah, but then she got divorced, v'nisgarsha. So, but she had gerushin, she got divorced still as a basula from Erisin. And even though her father is alive, she's not an orphan from the father. Doesn't matter. She's as good as being an orphan from father, which means she's independent now. Either the father actually died, that's case one, Yesoma, or even if the father's alive, but it's as if she was an orphan father because she's out of his jurisdiction because she got married and then got divorced. All this has happened while she's still a basula, still a young girl. Then, in these cases, the knas goes to herself. The knas is kept by herself. Our Mishnah basically holds like Rabbi Akiva, that holds that we said before, a nara shenis asa venis garsha, a woman who has been married with kiddushin and then divorced, she still gets the knas. She still gets the penalty. So, what is our Mishnah saying? Our Mishnah is telling us here, a yesoma, an orphan, and any girl who was gad kiddushin and got divorced, even though she has a father, she is like, therefore, a yesoma b'chayav. She's like an orphan in the life of the father. And she keeps the knas for herself. If there's a knas, comes along Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar says, Hamafate Potter, v'ha'ines chayiv, that the one who seduces her will be exempt from paying a knas. And the reason is because seduction or seducing means there was consent. And since there was consent, therefore, since the penalty would have gone to her, she's moichelet. We say she forgoes it. She says, oh, she was happy to live with him. So therefore, she can't claim the knas. The father's not around, or the father's not in jurisdiction because she's already out of his clutches by having been married and divorced, and therefore, no knas to pay. However, v'ha'oines chayiv, one who rapes her would be chayiv to pay the knas because he was onus abal korcha. He raped her against her will. So he will have to pay the chamishim kesa, the 50 silver, the 50 seller that the Torah says he has to pay. This is, again, another difference between oines and mevata. So this really can be added to the three differences that we had earlier on in the perek, where we talked about the difference between an oines and a mevata.